Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dono-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
What's up, everybody? Good evening. Welcome. Wednesday night, Dono-mite. I am back once again. Don Tony, as always. I tell you, the ending of NXT tonight maybe should have been the beginning of NXT tonight. You know, Roderick Strong, I like him. Great talent, veteran. But, you know, I don't know. But I did like Adam Cole ripping the tags off of Roderick Strong. Made me think of flashbacks of Piper's Pit. Remember, I challenge you to the match at WrestleMania. And Andre ripped the crucifix, the chain off of Hulk Hogan. And wasn't it Roddy that said, you're bleeding. Well, a different Roddy basically got it this time around. What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing tonight? We're here to talk AEW Dynamite. We're here to talk NXT tonight. Fun street fight on NXT side, Karrion Kross versus Santos Escobar. Fun street fight, sort of. Lance Archer versus Rey Fénix. I'm sorry, was that no DQ? I mean, I'm not crapping on it. I loved it. I've been saying for a little while now that Lance Archer has become my favorite wrestler in AEW. But I don't recall. I mean, chat room, help me on this. Was there any stipulation that it was no DQ to see all that brawling out? So what was the referee doing during all of that? Oh, yeah, no, we will talk about the big news. It's the big news. Oh, I have a few things to say about that. By the way, yeah, TikTok, the Cross shirt came tonight. Had a feeling the timing was going to be good. So, yeah. All right. AEW referee sucks. I know, no shit. AEW matches, yeah, they don't have rules. I know. But, you know, you got to have a little bit of organization. You know, put it this way. If nothing has rules, when you try to enforce them, they look absolutely stupid. Absolutely stupid. Shout out to SoFly. What does SoFly have to say? The same AEW fans who used to say, please retire Big Show. We're going to cheer him now. Well, all right. Let's talk about it. Got the press release in front of me. For those that may have tuned in late tonight, maybe didn't watch AEW, don't know what went down, this happened today. Paul White, you knew as the Giant, the Big Show, is now a part of AEW. Now, I'm going to read you half of the press release. The meat and potatoes of what counts the most. And I will give you my thoughts on the signing. AEW says, and I quote, as 2021 shapes to be the year for AEW's biggest shows yet, today the promotion announced that Paul White has signed a long-term deal, adding yet another universally regarded name to AEW's roster of stars, legends, and upcoming talent. White will have an extensive role within AEW, and on top of his return to the ring, he will serve as a commentator on AEW's newest show, AEW Dark Elevation. Complementing AEW Dark on Tuesdays, AEW Dark Elevation will air Monday nights, 7 p.m. on YouTube. It will showcase AEW's established and rising stars, as well as the top independent wrestlers within the industry competing against each other in the ring in pursuit of wins. AEW Dark Elevation will also maintain continuity, I think they spelled that wrong, with AEW Dynamite, AEW Dark, AEW pay-per-view shows, and streaming events, with wins and losses factoring into each wrestler's ranking in the company. With new wrestling programming now available 3 nights a week, AEW continues to solidify its position as the fastest growing and hottest promotion in professional wrestling. Quote, "It's been amazing to watch what AEW has built in just a couple of years," said Paul White. AEW Dark is an incredible platform to hone the skills of up-and-coming wrestlers, but I also love that established AEW talent can build out of their personalities and showcase themselves in new ways on Dark. It's no exaggeration when they say AEW is boundless. Paul White, quote, "Paul White is one of the most recognizable and impressive professional athletes in the world," said Tony Khan. "He wanted to come to AEW because he believes that we're the best promotion in wrestling, and we believe that he has a lot to offer us, both in the ring as a wrestler and outside the ring as a commentator, host, and ambassador for AEW. Paul is one of the most experienced stars in all of wrestling, and he's eager to work with our diverse roster. He could benefit and guide our young talent with his mentorship and his expert commentary on AEW Dark Elevation, which will educate and entertain our fans and also educate the younger wrestlers on the roster. Furthermore, Paul enters AEW is a licensed wrestler, and he's very much looking forward to studying our talent firsthand from the commentary desk in preparation for his return to the ring. Already a monumental day for AEW. Be sure to tune in Dynamite tonight. Blah, 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 blah. What do I think? What do I think? This is what I have to say. Yes, yes, without a doubt, you're going to have fans that a hardcore AEW that made fun of the Big Show in the past that will now praise this signing. That's what happens on social media. That's what tweet fucking is called. That's what a lot of those things are called. Me, all you got to do is do a search on my shows. Just type in Big Show and you have my thoughts. I've always liked the guy. I always felt bad with the please retire stuff. I've made it clear over the years. This is what I have to say about it. Big Show, in the last, and I don't have notes in front of me, I'm just telling you straight from here and here. Big Show, Paul White, has been in WWF/WWE, if my math is correct, 21 of the last 22 years. The guy with his size, most people would have been dead already. This guy can still work. Obviously, he is an attraction now than anything else. And you know what? Good for him that life in wrestling doesn't end at 49. What blows me away, and this happened, look, this is almost Miro all over again. Miro signs with AEW, and mostly unemployed wrestling fans out there, and I don't talk about individual fans, I'm talking about podcasters, bloggers, journalists, writers. Those are the ones I focus on. Big Show has done things over the years that rightfully has pissed off fans. I don't blame all of you. Some of you out there that truly want him to retire, I totally respect your opinion on that. But when Miro signed with AEW, and you have all these goofs trying to write the catchiest tweet that'll get the most ha-has, LOLs, likes, retweets, LMAFO, LOL, worry about your own jobs before you worry about someone else's job. Now, give AEW credit. They didn't make the entire promotion around Miro. They didn't make the entire promotion around Paul White. I mean, he hasn't started yet. But as of now, Look at the picture that they showed on the press release. Suit and tie. He is starting off as a commentator. He will have matches. I mean, nobody bitched that Paul White, the Big Show, fought Drew McIntyre, you know, the same night that he won the title at WrestleMania. Nobody bitched and complained about that. Life should not end in wrestling simply because your current employer no longer thinks that you are valuable for their company. WWE felt that Big Show, you know, was expendable. And you know what? Maybe at this point in his career, 21 years in out of the last 22, maybe it was time for Paul White to look for other employment. Whether it's AEW, MLW, New Japan, All Japan, Ring of Honor, Ring of this, blah, 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 this, this, and that. He's got a job in AEW. He's very funny on the mic. He's entertaining when he talks. If you don't want to see it, don't tune into YouTube and listen to his commentary. I just feel that he is a lifer in the world of pro wrestling. So he has the opportunity to continue his wrestling life with another promotion. And you know what? I wish him the best of luck. I hope he fits in with AEW. This does not feel like Dixie Carter just signing, you know, castaways. Because I remember those years. We talked about it. It's a lot of ways I felt that way. This does not feel that. You got to understand something. AEW, you know, look at Billy Corgan. Billy Corgan, 20-year plan before COVID hit. 20-year plan. And that's an established company. And he still felt that you needed 10 to 20 years to get NWA back to where it's been. Tony Khan, Shad Khan, you know, a bigger bankroll, big TV deal with TNT. So obviously they have more expendable funds and cash, and they have a cable channel supporting them big time. So they got a huge head start for their promotion. But it's still new. It's still new. You know, you have all these wrestlers working behind the scenes for AEW. You know, you have some very important people in positions. What happens if one of them, if the opposite happens and one or two people get up and leave AEW? So honestly, I think people out there are really overall making way too big of a deal about this. WWE no longer could come to terms with Paul White. If WWE just decided, yeah, you know, after all these years, I think we're done, you know, that might leave like a nice chip on his shoulder. Something to prove that he could still contribute. Doesn't necessarily have to be in the ring. Personally, I don't think he's going to do that much in the ring because outside of Lance Archer, and this is lately, and look, Lance Archer in main events is awesome. Lance Archer getting some high-profile matches is awesome. But I want to see some gold around his waist. I want to feel like it's not, okay, you hit here, but then you got this plateau. You know, he doesn't get over that hump. He's getting out. Push, elevator, plateau. Other than him, you know, look at the other big man there. So it's not like Big Show has a plethora of people to work with. So I think people are really just going way too overboard about this signing. Seriously. VJ, what magazine are you talking about? I sent you the magazine. I sent you the AEW title belt. You got to understand something, dude. I had to ship it to Canada. You live in Canada. The AEW title belt is over 10 pounds. It cost me $85 to ship that to Canada. So I don't know how long it takes for it to come from New York to Canada. But if you'd like, you could email me, dontony@dontony.com, and I will be more than happy to email you the tracking information. I sent that out probably 10 days ago. So I keep my promise. So anyway, what do you all think? I mean, as far as Paul White, I mean, do you agree that, you know, let's be happy for the guy? I mean, look, I know, you know, I use the phrase, you know, news and reviews without the hate and the clickbait. I'm still an asshole when I do shows. You know that. And I still push people's buttons. But there is nothing wrong sometimes with enjoying things or being happy for someone. You know, there's this climate a lot, mostly on social media, where, you know, somebody moves to another company and it's like the in thing to do is to try to come up with the funniest insult. And then once that gets out of your system and once it becomes boring and old, you know what people say? You know what? We should be happy for him. You know, he got another job and we should be better than that. Not you, but you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about those sissies, those losers on social media that have to shit on everything. I don't think it's that big of a deal, everybody. The guy's a veteran. The guy is very well liked. He is not a problem outside of wrestling. The guy's not a dirtbag. You know, the guy is a talented guy. He's a fucking giant. So obviously his, you know, his work is limited. You know, but hey, he entertained me for 21 out of 22 years. Some years the entertainment was very on the mild side. But now he's got a job in AEW. And give it a chance. If it looks like AEW is not getting their money's worth, that's on AEW. If the perception of TV for us as fans are like, what the hell are we looking at? Then we will criticize it. As of now, I can't criticize it. Who do you expect him to get? A Hollywood writer? I mean, you got somebody who's been in around wrestling since, what, 26 years, 27 years around there? I mean, this is what you want. Rep says that the biggest, Don Tony is the biggest hypocrite. This guy is born WWE. You should go to join WWE. Didn't I just praise AEW for this? Rep, if I give you my PO box address, could you ship me whatever you're smoking? Where is this pro WWE or pro NXT or anything like that? You know, no, rep, listen, I don't know rep too much, but rep is big with Japanese wrestling, big with AEW and other things. I said nothing to criticize AEW in any way, shape, or form. I think people out there need to take a little bit of a chill pill. So, it's funny. Devin, you are funny, man. I totally respect you, Devin, but I've been doing this shit since 1997. I tell it like it is. You know, if it feels like I'm being one-sided to one promotion or not, that's your interpretation of it. You know, I just feel, you know, it's a new company. It's only, what, 2 years old around that? I mean, you need more years. They went right into the quote NWA with their theme song. AEW went right into the fire. So you want someone established, long. Plus, look at his reputation. Guy shows up for work every freaking day. Every day. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Let's give it time. And if it looks like AEW made a mistake, then we will talk about it. I promise you, we will talk about it. Level says better than signing Lars. See, you know what? I don't want to bring it up, but I like these jerk-offs last week that have to still clickbait with Lars. The guy quit wrestling because of severe anxiety issues. And you got these jerk-offs writing these polls, should AEW sign Lars? And you know why they do that? Because they know 95% of their fan base is going to say, hell no. Hell no. And it's like an orgasm. It's like, you know, look, 95% of people don't want AEW to sign this guy. The fucking guy's got a massive anxiety issue, doesn't want to be around wrestling, and you write polls that you know what the outcome is going to be. You're right, Devin. Mental health comes first. And I'm sorry, man. I could be an absolute asshole here and go with that flow, but you're not going to get that here. I ain't going to fall for it, you know? You can't out-asshole an asshole, you know what I mean? And these people, man, just, and it's the usual suspects. The people that don't have relationships, the people that won't show you their face, the people that hide behind domain names for fucking, you know, social media accounts, Ringside News, for example. I mean, these people just flooded with garbage. I am very non-biased, Psycho. You are absolutely right. I try to be fair as much as possible. Now, by the way, just a reminder, we mentioned it Monday. To my Canadian fans, well, I hate using fans. We're on the same page. We're family. So to my Canadian family out there, if you did not know about it tonight, start marking it down that NXT now airs live on Sportsnet 360 and SN Now started tonight. So now we're probably going to hear the Canadian Wednesday Night Wars. I mean, I don't get it. I like what Tyree just said. I like what Tyree just said. Tyree said he wonders if Jeff Hardy's looking at AEW and how he's booked on Raw, having any regrets in signing another deal. We don't know. We don't know. But I think a lot of you out there, if you were not happy at your job, and this is how I always try to look at things now. If you're not happy at your job, and you leave, or your job is not happy with you, and you feel you could still contribute, but they still say, no, you know what, we're going in a different direction. The first type of work you're going to try to find and replace of it is going to be similar of what you've done before, especially if you feel you're good at it still. You signed with a competitor, whether it's Coke, Pepsi, McDonald's here, Hess Gas Station, Getty, whatever it is. Whatever it is, Apple, Dell, you know, you're a technician, whatever job you are, if you leave because you're unhappy, or if you feel you're not paid enough, or if your employer lets you go, you mean to tell me you don't have the right, or there's something wrong with you trying to pursue another job in the same field you're in? That's why, like I said, I don't get it with this Miro stuff, and it's happening all over again with Paul White. And if Jeff Hardy leaves WWE and signs with AEW, so be it. If Marty Scurll signs with AEW, so be it. If you got Nick Aldis ends up going to AEW, so be it. So what? So what? Why does it feel like when someone leaves a company that it's almost like people will not allow them to sign with another company? And if they do, they get bashed or the employer gets bashed. These people have lives. These people have responsibilities. They have finances. They got bills to pay just like everyone else. And not only that, they've dedicated their entire life to pro wrestling. And they should walk away and go pump gas or work in a mall somewhere or sell real estate or be a used car dealer simply because you think it's stupid. Most of the people that act that way on social media, look at their employment status or history. And you realize you probably should worry about your own backyard than someone else's. So, but thank you, Tyree, for that. Thank you. By the way, Big Show betrayed Soulfly. Look, I'm not going to deny it. Big Show has had some caca moments over the years. But the guy's a likable guy. The guy shows up for work. The guy has got health issues. He's in the best shape of his life. And he's, what, 49 years old? I mean, what do people want him to do? Just vegetate, gain 60 pounds, and die? Not die now, but you know what I mean? Just like, let your career die? Let your whole footprint in wrestling die? No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. So, we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. So anyway, tomorrow night, don't forget, if you're around 10:05 p.m., we're going to do another Ask Me Anything Q&A. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. Probably going to bring the wheel back once again. We'll do another giveaway. And, you know, you're going to start seeing little things change with the shows. Format, you know, focusing on singular topics and just really, you'll see it. And I definitely welcome everybody's input. Keep throwing it out there. DM me, post it in the comment section, email me. I love everybody's input. And, you know, we've done this for a year. Now it's time to take it to the next level. James Edward. I'm getting like mumble mouth over here. James Edward says it reminds him of Macho Man and WCW. You know what? Look, is Big Show on the level of Macho Man as far as, you know, legendary status? No. There's only one Macho Man. But I get what you're saying. You know, Vince McMahon forced Macho Man pretty much in the commentator's booth, and then he still thought he could still go at it in the ring. I think they fed him Tatanka or something like that, and before you knew it, he was gone. And he went to WCW and still performed. And you realized, wow, you know, the guy could still go. You know, so maybe not on the level of Macho Man, but I'm laughing at some of the chats out there. You guys are great, man. Left Twix, I think we're going to do some call-ins later this week or this weekend for members just to test it out. See, I don't want anybody out there to feel left out, all right? But the reason why I want to try it with members first is because they're members. I know who they are. And they are big support as far as getting people that, you know, may try to troll and everything. I got some software that I've been testing in it, and I've been actually calling myself and making sure it's connected. Plus, I'm going to have a screener that's going to be screening everything. And if anybody decides they want to troll, trust me, their phone number will be right smack on the screen. And I'll pay that Intellis money to run their shit and get their, to put all their stuff online. Oh man, we will have so much fun with the trolls. Oh, we will have fun. So anyway, AEW tonight, NXT, which one you want me to talk about first, guys? You tell me. Because we've run now, how long? We've run about 30 minutes. So my plan tonight is to go about 90 minutes, maybe a little bit less. My idea going forward is first 30 minutes of the show, get into the topics at hand. Next 30 minutes, get into one of the two promotions tonight, and the final 30 minutes, the other promotion. That gives us 90. We're out of here. We're a little split. You know what I got to do with the wheel? You know, let's do this. Let's do this. I know this is corny, but let's do this. All right. So how do we determine who is AEW and who is NXT? So you know what we'll do? This is what we'll do. Okay. There's only one 100 on this wheel. See, that's only one 100 on this wheel. So everything from this head, that the purples are frown faces. If anybody ever lands on purple, they get a goose egg. So if anything lands between this 100 to here, from this side, then we'll cover NXT. If we land on the opposite side, we cover AEW. So if it lands on the 200 side, we'll cover AEW first. If it lands on the NXT side, we'll cover NXT. Let's spin this shit. No, whoa. That's more like it. All right, we're going to cover AEW. All right. AEW. Okay. I got something to say about what was said during the week about Sting and his protective padding. And then when we get to NXT, I have something to say about Kyle O'Reilly and the seizure. Thank God Kyle O'Reilly is okay. And thank God Sting is okay. Yeah, you know what, Austin? I'm going to get a second wheel, and I'm going to put on the wheel AEW, NXT, New Japan. You know, obviously New Japan will just have one slot because not everybody follows that. But we'll have like three slots for AEW, three slots for NXT. We'll have one for Impact, one for New Japan, one for MLW / Ring of Honor, and we'll spin the wheel. And whatever it lands on, that's what we cover first. So, Scorpio 1117. Oh, man. By the way, Scorpio, I told my fiance about your login. She's like, there's no way. I showed it to her, and she was like, oh, my God. She thought it was so funny, man. He helps Triple H, joins AEW. That'll never happen, man. It's a billion-dollar company. Vince McMahon, the McMahon family, it's like the mob. You know, the only way I would ever see Triple H join an AEW, seriously, is if something majorly went wrong in his marriage, got divorced, and just left the entire McMahon, because look, it's either him or Stephanie, you know. So Triple H would be the one out on the street. That's the only time, way I would see that. 11/17 is your birthday, Richard. Could I call you Dick? Richard, man, I can't wish you happy birthday right now, but much love. Honestly, I think that's the only way you would, unless WWE went out of business. If WWE got sold, and whoever bought it said, you know what? We don't want Hunter. We don't want Triple H in a company. Oh, man. I could just, you know he would work out a deal in AEW just to stick it. Seriously. Yeah, divorce. I agree with you, Lion. Divorce would probably be the only way that would ever happen. Seriously. So, AEW tonight. All right. Now, first off, let's mention quickly about Sting. By the way, much love to everybody who is live with me tonight. If you don't mind, if you let me indulge for a second, if you're enjoying the show, I would appreciate it if you smash that like button. If you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe, because the next step is to start recording individual little clips. I'm going to say something tonight about AEW's women's roster that's going to trigger some people out there, and some people are absolutely going to love what I'm going to say. And yes, that will end up being a individual clip. I'm going to start putting clips up. People have been asking me to do that. So we start that next week. Okay. First of all, you know what happened so fly earlier today? I went on my Queens, New York board. I went on the Howard Beach message board and a couple of my personal friends that don't follow wrestling. I never did it before. I'm like, hey, guys, you know, I do the shows. You know, why don't you stop by, hang out, say hello, this, this, and that. And like, oh, what's the page? I put the link up, and I was like, smash that like button. And all strangers were doing that. I can't get people that really support the show to do it, but strangers, they'll do it. It's all good. Tony's been watching since 86. You know, not me. Pro wrestling, yes, absolutely. Sting, okay. Did you see the reports all week that Sting wore protective padding last week when he took the powerbomb? A lot of you out there have been waiting a whole week for my view on it. And my answer, and I hope it doesn't disappoint you with such an abbreviated answer, my answer is, yeah, so. So what? What protective pad? What protective padding are they talking about? With an inflatable cushion? Inflatable cushion? First of all, if you go back and you look at it last week, you could tell there was no cushion. There was no inflatable device. Not only that, if anybody out there, oh yeah, it floated around Austin. By the way, Austin Theory may have a crush on Dexter Lumis. We'll get into that later. But for those that followed what I was doing on the indies with the managing stuff, I took a couple of bumps. And the number one reason why I stopped, and a lot of you know this already, is every time I took a back bump, the back of my head would hit the mat. Back of my head would hit the mat no matter what I tried, how I tried. People told me, do this, this. They tried so many ways. Every time I took a back bump, the back of my head would hit the mat. And what I found out from my doctor is that my neck was a lot weaker than I thought it was. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is that it's not just the absorbing of the powerbomb in the mat. It's tucking in your neck and having that strength to hold it in and to be like this. So for people out there to say, oh, he wore protective padding, if anything, that would have made it even more difficult for him to take that spot. There is nothing wrong with So Fly says, maybe the protective padding was his depends in his pants. Yeah, maybe he did have to do pee-pee. Maybe he did. I don't know, but even if they did, so what? I mean, we've heard about WWE. What match was it in WWE? You guys will remember this. What match was it in WWE that somebody got put, somebody will remember, somebody got put through a table and we found out that they had some type of inflatable device under the table so when it collapsed, it didn't collapse and just be dead weight where people absorb. What was that match? Someone out there remembers it. Trust me. My point is, taking precautions, so what? So what? What do you want them to do? Pull his shirt off and show his titties? And, oh, yeah, now he's a real man. He took the powerbomb with no... Shut up. Shane O'Mac, WrestleMania 32. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Addison. Sterling. Goochcast Network. Yes. Remember that? Yeah. They did that to protect him. So they protected Sting, even if that was true. So what? So what? Yes, Rep, everybody dies. The Murder Hawk. I'll tell you, I'm very happy that Lance Archer advanced in this tournament, well, ladder match for the face of Revolution. The only thing is, I'm a little bit questioning the qualifying match that is going to happen next week. I tell you, you know, just to go ahead a little bit, you know, next week looks like a fun show. I told you, 3-3 was going to be the next big head-to-head show. You know, a lot of things announced in advance, but WWE today threw an audible. We were supposed to get Io Shirai versus Toni Storm next week. They decided that Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai is strong enough on its own that they didn't need Io Shirai to main event next week. So they are pulling that back for another week, which is very interesting, which means don't be surprised that next week AEW announces some big shit for the 10th that, you know, we'll see what happens. Yeah, you know, look, 10... Preston Vance, 10, guy's got an awesome physique. Problem is, if you don't watch BTE, and you don't watch all that backstage Dark Order stuff, and you don't see that little bit of an added personality that he has, and he is a really likable guy online. Very friendly, very sociable. I don't have a crush on him, but he just really is sociable with his fans. So that's someone that you want to root for. The problem is, as of right now, you don't feel that equating on television. And to have next week for a spot in the ladder match at Revolution, Max Caster versus 10. I mean, I like the Acclaimed. I've made that known since their debut in AEW. But I don't know, that just feels like, you know, a little bit of a weak match to put in as a spot in this face of Revolution. Trust me, as of right now, please don't take this out of context. As of right now, Preston Vance and Max Caster are not no face of anything AEW. They are future. They ain't no face of nothing. And to give them a spot, a chance at a spot in that match that's only six people in it, you know, that's a stretch, in my honest opinion. Oh, I love that idea, Avili. Lance Archer versus John Moxley. You know, go check New Japan. Go check how John Moxley has that New Japan championship. What, United States Championship? Yeah, I do research. He had a kick-ass match with Lance Archer. Those two could go. Speaking of John Moxley, that's how we opened up the show today. John Moxley beats Ryan Nemeth. Not much of a match. I tell you, AEW is doing a lot of damage control for what they did to John Moxley those 2.5 months after he lost that title. You've heard me beat it to death on the shows. He was Wrestler of the Year. Unhinged. People comparing him to Steve Austin. Does what he wants. And all his promos. That title is my life. Nothing else matters. This, this, and that. He gets screwed by Kenny Omega and Don Callis. And it, obviously, this is not his fault. This was AEW's decision. He goes home. He goes home for 2 months. Yes, the expecting child. But as far as television, storyline, entertainment goes, it went totally against his character. And I said it from 7 months ago. Well, no, 7 months ago. He lost the title 3 months ago. What am I saying? 3 months ago. He should have showed up that Dynamite right after the pay-per-view. Throw a chair in the ring. I'm not leaving this ring till that son of a bitch comes out there and faces me like a man. Have AEW officials come out, Jerry Lynn, anybody you want. Moxley starts beating the balls out of everybody, and then Tony Khan posts this tweet. John Moxley's been suspended for 60 days, 30 days, whatever you want to call it. And that writes him off on TV, and he doesn't lose any of his character. Tonight, Moxley, his promo, to be honest with you, other than the lead up to him and Omega last year, and other than his tribute to Brody Lee, I thought this was my favorite promo that he has cut in AEW yet. Because for those that only know Moxley as Dean Ambrose, I brought this up many times in the past. John Moxley, at his core, absolutely loves hardcore wrestling, loves death matches. You ever get the opportunity, the privilege to interview John Moxley, be prepared to do a lot of research on death matches and hardcore. And if you start bringing up wrestlers from all Japan and bring up CZW and you start name dropping specific matches, you will have one of the most fun interviews that you will ever have. When he's cutting his promo today and basically saying that he's addicted to this, he says, when you hear about, think of fire, blood, torture, agony, you know, you think of Japanese wrestling magazines. Does that make you feel revolted or disgusted, or does that give you a sick thrill? He loves that shit. When he, and you heard me say it last week, when they announced, when Kenny Omega announced it was going to be a death match, my only problem with last week's Dynamite going off the air is Moxley should have had a sick smile on his face. Like, he just, I don't want to get too personal, but before, you know, someone was impregnated, if Moxley, like, walked into the door in his house, honey, I'm home, and he's greeted to nakedness, that smile, like, he should have had a smile on his face, a perverted smile on his face last week. Like, do you realize what you just did, Kenny Omega? Instead, he's got the Hobbs constipated look on his face. That should have been his reaction, in my opinion. Yes, you are right, Chris. The thing with Moxley is that what he said tonight, he means. And I try to be nice on the shows. I'm nice to all of you. We're family, and family is the only thing that matters to me, honestly, whether it's the shows here or my personal life. Family is number one. And I did get a perverted smile on my face to see hardcore AEW fans, hardcore about Moxley being in AEW, having that match with Kenny Omega last week where they used some movie props for weapons, and to see people with blue check marks, I feel queasy right now. You think I'm lying? Just type in Moxley queasy on Twitter and see what comes up. Or AEW queasy, nauseous. I don't feel right now. I feel very uncomfortable. In fact, type Moxley uncomfortable and you'll see. Look at these people from that pay-per-view main event that went on and on and on and on and on last year. It was awesome. It was awesome. I loved it. And when it was done, I said that these two guys loved every minute of it. Every minute of it. And they are going to go balls out with this hardcore match. So when Moxley cut his promo tonight, every word that he said, he truly feels. This is wrestling intercourse for Moxley. Telling you, absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved it. It sold it perfectly. I didn't like later on with Omega, you know, building this torture stuff for Moxley. I mean, could you just shut the goddamn saw while you're, because that noise, you didn't need all that. I thought that was a little bit of a mess. Then we get the Young Bucks. I don't recall if there was a dress change from last week with Waylon Mercy, you know, the Young Bucks dad. And I say that complimentary. To me, he looks like Waylon Mercy. So, oh, much love, Jay Carlos. Thank you very much, my friend. Thank you very much. That was very, very kind of you. Loves my CW impersonation. Please, please do not super chat what I'm going to ask you. CW as who? CW. Who's CW? I know there's a little of a delay here, but who's CW? Not Ray Phoenix. Ray Phoenix don't talk. CW. Not CW Anderson. Who's CW? I'm just wet. Oh, Chris Van Vliet. Oh, that's CVV. CVV. By the way, you want to see a really cool interview with Chris Van Vliet and a podcaster, go check out Chris's channel. He interviewed Jason Solomonster. Jason truly is a good guy. You know, he's one of the OGs. He's not the podfather. I mean, you know, it's... Have you ever seen the movie Goodfellas? There's a reason why, you know, Ray Liotta, could never be Godfather, you know? You got to read between the lines to understand that. There's only one Godfather. Podfather, I should say. But it was fun. I mean, usually when I watch it, I crop the video, and I only look at the right side of the screen because I can't, you know, like, I don't want to start getting, like, Indy Hartwell, Dexter Lumis infatuated, you know, towards him, or Austin Theory, Dexter Lumis. There's only so long I can see. So what's your favorite show? Who do you like to interview? Who do you like this? What's your favorite food? Who do you like this? I'm joking. People should know this is a running joke. I have nothing against the guy. Even though nobody will ever interview yours truly. No. Take too long, first of all. And funny. I don't want to bring it up here. If you bring it up tomorrow, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But I made an appearance on a podcast not too long ago. 99% of you out there never saw it, never heard about it. Because I did the podcast and there was a bunch of people on with me. And every topic that was brought up, I kicked the shit out of the topic. Where everybody had no comeback, everything that they threw at me. And like the show abruptly ended. Oh, we'd love to have you on again. Not only Have I never been invited again? But I don't even know if that episode is online still. But it's all good. It's all good. I'll be honest with you, everybody. Seriously. And the Donzilla Army, Jay Carlos knows this, and a lot of you know this. Everybody ignoring us, you got to take that as the ultimate compliment. Think WWF, WCW. Think WWE, TNA. Yes, at some point, they finally addressed the competition and they just berated, but for most part, they wouldn't even mention the letters. WWE never mentioned AEW because they know that AEW, you know, is going to build momentum. And will it ever get on the level of WWE? No. But the point is that that huge, you know, just emptiness that everybody shows our way, no plugs, no love, no thank yous, no nothing, no attention whatsoever. And take that as a badge of honor. You know that a lot of you out there are doing something right when everybody out there refuses to say your name. Seriously. So, but anyway, but thank you, Jay Carlos, for that. Seriously. Much love. Much love. I want to also shout out SoFly. Make sure I talk about Ric Flair's comments on Arn Anderson and Tully. Very sad they don't have a relationship anymore. You know, look, I'll say this. I'll say this very quickly, because next week we're going to get Tully and FTR taking on Jurassic Express. I expect Tully to have mostly interaction with Marco Stunt. And it's going to be comedy. And I have a feeling that real deep fans of FTR and their use in AEW, I think are going to be a little bit upset with next week's match. Just a prediction. Maybe a spoiler. Right now, it's just a prediction. Because the thing is that FTR, when they went to AEW, these guys had unbelievable momentum to the point where they were the tag team of the year. And look what AEW's done with them since they lost those tag belts to the Young Bucks. Nothing against the Young Bucks. I'm actually looking forward to seeing the Young Bucks defend those titles against Jericho and MJF. But you now see that FTR, you know, rightfully so, was the best tag team of the year, backed it up, had a great reign, and it's like, okay, now we put the titles on our homeboys, are executives slash wrestlers. And yes, the Young Bucks back it up, no question. But why, you see what happens? They can't multitask with pushing. They can't have both pushed at the same time. Now, as far as Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Ric Flair not having a relationship, look, you watch shoot interviews and you see wrestlers who were parts of legendary tag teams from years past, or even cliques, you know, not just DX. You'll see in some cases where the friendships have always remained tight as gold. But unfortunately, you know, once the styling and profiling, wheeling and dealing goes away, Tully Blanchard became a minister. Arn Anderson, you know, was behind the scenes for WWE. Ric Flair is Ric Flair, you know, and J.J. Dillon. Everybody leaves out J.J. Dillon of all this as well. It's just the younger years, they had a ball and they were close, but you do, you know, go distance. And it is a shame. It is a shame. I mean, a lot of us think that, oh, the Four Horsemen should be best buddies for life. It doesn't work that way. Very rare to keep friends. I mean, look, I don't want to throw CM Punk in the mud right now, but how many people out there remember some wrestlers doing interviews over the last 5-6 years, whatever it is, maybe even a little longer, and said, I don't know what I did to this guy. We were like this. We were close. I'm not talking about Colt Cabana either, but we were close. And suddenly he just stopped talking to me, blocked me, won't even take my calls. there's just, you know, it happens. It happens. You can't force that friendship. And people change. People change. So, look, it is a little sad to see that the Four Horsemen are not close like they used to. Hell, I don't even know what Lex Luger and Sting's friendship is these days. There were some really tight friendships back in the day, and people do drift apart. People move on. You know, I'm very lucky to have friends still that I grew up with. We don't see each other that much. We talk to each other online. We exchange messages, DMs. Few of them might even be hanging out some points tonight also. But in all reality, 95% of my friends out there never met my fiance, and I'm dating her 8.5 years. So friendships do change, you know? So I think at heart, they care about each other. And I think some of the disgruntledness Tully and Arn's way might be, you know, feelings hurt. Might be feelings hurt, you know? So we only know what is given to us verbally by these guys. But emotionally, you know, there's got to be some pain inside. And look, obviously, I don't want to see the day anytime soon that Rick or anybody is no longer on this earth with us. But you could pretty much guarantee that when it's his time to go, you're going to see the Horsemen. You're going to see an unbelievable celebration of Ric Flair's life. So I know it's sad to hear it, Psycho. You know, sometimes you got to have some real deep conversation because it does bleed into real life. A lot of you out there probably have some friends like this also. You know, things do change. So we'll probably pick up that conversation tomorrow. So anyway, I definitely want to bring up my point about the women's division, AEW, because I brought this up yesterday on Patreon. And I tested it there to see what kind of reaction I got, and I liked the response. So I'm going to throw it out there in a minute. But just to go through some of what we saw tonight. First of all, the Young Bucks early in the night, they're shown in the back taking pictures with their dad. You know, nice segment. You know that dad is going to get a receipt later on, you know. But Ricky Starks and Brian Cage beating the Varsity Blondes. Match went a lot longer, I think, that it should have, especially when you got a street fight coming up. These guys should have beat the balls out of Hollywood Blondes, especially if Sting and Darby Allin end up going out on top on that match. You know, you want them to feel unstoppable, dominant, and that's not what we saw tonight. I know they want to give offense to the Varsity Blondes because they are very good. Griff Garrison, I'm starting to believe the hype, you know, that people said back, you know, a year ago. But after the match is over, because remember, Sting wanted payback tonight, revenge. All right, we kind of got it tonight. Sting comes out with a body bag, opens the body bag, and it's Taz's son. So now Taz is tending to his son, who was in the body bag and I guess got the shit knocked out of him. Sting points to the Teletron, the Titantron, whatever you want to call it, and they show like a footage, I guess like a drone footage of above a truck that's driving down a dirt path road, and the body bag is tied to the back, dragging along the dirt path road. And they show a close-up of the hand that's on the steering wheel that has the glove on, and it stings. So Sting is driving the vehicle. Stop the vehicle. The body bag opens up. Darby Allin has his title, has this smile on his face. And then the next thing you know, Sting points to the rafters and here's Darby Allin going down the cable. A lot of reminiscent of Shawn Michaels. Some people said it reminded him of Sting 97, 98, whatever year it was. I disagree because Sting just straight down. You know, Shawn Michaels, look, don't break it. Look like that. He comes out, and good camera work by AEW. you know, Darby had a couple extra seconds trying to unclip it, so they focused only on Sting, and Sting with a little beat down to Brian Cage. It was fine. It was fine. I liked the segment. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this match. Sting hit the splash tonight, hit his, you know, what does he call it, reverse DDT? I'm drawing a blank right now. But they look great tonight. I mean, you know, if you really want to nitpick, if you focus on Brian Cage while he's getting beat down, it was kind of, you know, I'm sure there's some people out there tonight writing, oh, Brian Cage, what's worse, getting beat up by Tessa Blanchard or getting beat up by a 61-year-old Scorpion Death Drop? Thank you, Soulfly. Scorpion Death Drop. I'm sure some people tonight were comparing Brian Cage's getting beat down by Sting to Tessa. Thank you, Nate, Dorian, Devin. Skating with pay. Skating with pay. I like that. So, nice segment. Looking forward to it. Jake Hager beating Brandon Cutler. And the Inner Circle come out, minus Chris Jericho and MJF. And I'm like, what's with all these initials? I'm like, okay, Jake Hager beat Brandon Cutler. After the match, IC comes down to beat up BC. YB makes the save while I take a pee. They try to beat down Brandon Cutler. Nothing against Brandon Cutler, but honestly, does anybody give a shit that this guy's on TV? I mean, he got a match, lasted 40 seconds a minute. Didn't get much offense in. He does a plethora of work in AEW. Honestly, if I worked my ass off like he does in AEW and I was a wrestler, I'd want to be on Dynamite once in a while. So I'm not against it. But the Young Bucks, they call out Jericho and MJF. They come down to the ring. We don't have to wait for the pay-per-view. They show the screen, Jericho and MJF, and they got a bloodied, beat-up Papa Buck. Now, I think there was a blotch of fake blood on the floor, and I'll tell you why. Number one, it looked great. Looked like his face was bleeding. You didn't see blood dripping down, but it was a nice visual. And what they did, if you go back and watch it, you had two sides of the back of the truck. One side, each side has a Young Buck on it, picture of them. And Jericho slams the Young Buck's dad, and he did everything perfect. I can't criticize him at all. But he slams him into this left side of the truck, and he slaps his hand on the Young Buck's face. I think it was Matt Jackson on the left. He slaps the face, and doing that because there's blood on his hand. And he smears it down so it looks like one of the Young Bucks has blood on their face. Nice visual. If you notice, when he went down, MJF turned him around and you didn't see his arms. And it looked like he dipped his hand for a split second in some blood because he smashes his head in the other side of the truck and the same hand hits the truck, smears it, and there's another gigantic amount of blood. So unless his hand was bleeding profusely, which it wasn't, you know, when they turned him over, dip that. I liked it. I liked the segment. It felt very personal. And remember personal when we get to Xia Li, Casey Catanzaro, in a moment. Now we have the Young Bucks' dad on the floor, Jericho and MJF doing their pose. Come back here and pick up your trash. And the Young Bucks, they see their dad, and Jericho and MJF are in some type of limo outside taunting one of them. And just when they're, you know, running up to the limo, it speeds away. And segment was very good. Very good. That was fine. Devin, if you go back, there was enough blood that it looked like he dipped, which is fine. Not complaining. We had to build up to Jade Cargill and Shaq versus Red Velvet and Cody, which will take place next week. We'll see how that goes. Hangman Page beating Isaiah Cassidy. Matt Hardy in the hybrid two, were at ringside, trying to interfere in the match. Matt Hardy gets ejected. Dark Order, which members? John Silver and Alex Reynolds came out to, you know, basically let the ref know about Matt Hardy's involvement. He gets ejected. So, to me, honestly, I thought this match went on way too long. Way too long. I like Isaiah Cassidy, but Hangman Page, honestly, especially building up to this match with Matt Hardy, it should have ended much sooner. Shout out to Austin Nance. Shout out to Southern Love. Shout out to Larry Rovers. But in the end, you know, Hangman Page hits the Deadeye, gets the win. Then we hear Matt Hardy. We hear him on speakers. Matt Hardy's in the back and basically, you know, hyping up the match with him and Hangman Page at Revolution. And, you know, he comes out and we find out that next week we're going to see a 10-man tag match. It's going to be Matt Hardy, Private Party, and TH2 versus the Dark Order. So that's what we have to look forward to next week. Also, tonight, now, I'm sorry for showing you this a little early, but Nyla Rose defeated Britt Baker to advance in the Eliminator tournament. It was a decent match. I mean, honestly, Nyla Rose almost has to scrape and claw for TV time on Dynamite. So the fact that she hasn't been on all that much on Dynamite, yes, she's been on Dark and everything, but this was a better match than I expected it to be. With Reba, not Rebel. Reba. But this match was a little bit better than I thought it would be. But let's also be honest. Much of this tournament so far has been extremely predictable. I don't care that it's predictable. If the matches are good, that's all that matters to me. But again, if you go back to what I said a while ago, Riho on the U.S. side, to me, made zero sense to me. I know she was in AEW last year, but so was Emi Sakura, and so was other people as well. And it felt from the beginning that Riho on the USA side was put there for the sole reason of either a rematch with Nyla Rose or to be in the finals of this tournament. It didn't make sense why she wasn't on the Japanese side. Just my opinion. But with Nyla Rose advancing and with the results from Monday with this tournament, this is what you have so far. Now, this is important because of Sunday. Some of you may not be aware of this. If you look on the left side, Thunder Rosa and Riho have not had a match yet. Kind of sucks that they're not doing that match next week. The problem is you have the tournament going to the final at the pay-per-view. So they kind of, you know, they had a decision to make. You either put Britt Baker and Nyla Rose on TV or you put Thunder Rosa and Riho on TV. Thunder Rosa versus Riho is going to take place this Sunday on Bleacher Report. Not only that match, but Hikaru Shida, Mei Suruga, and Rin Katakura are going to take on Emi Sakura, Venny, and Maki Ito. And, you know, I know that there's a little bit of confusion there because of what transpired in some of the matches in the tournament. You have, you know, a baby face and technically a heel on the same team. I'm not really complaining about that. Aja Kong, as we thought last week, she got counted out. It was either going to be a count out or a DQ, and that's what happened. But right now, you have Yuka Sakazaki versus Ryo Mizunabe. They are going to face, I think on Sunday, to determine who will go to the finals of the tournament. On the left side, Sunday, Thunder Rosa will take on Riho, and then we will have, I guess, next week, the winner of that match taking on Nyla Rose. And then we will find out who will event, unless they do it next Monday. It's very possible they do it next Monday. But that's pretty much your bracket right now. A lot of people want to see Thunder Rosa win. I don't blame you. Thunder Rosa is my favorite of this entire tournament, but I don't know if the cards are going to fall in place like that. You know, so far, a lot of these results have been quite predictable. And if Rio comes out on top, you could see from the beginning. I think even when they announced the brackets. Now, Anna Jay, unfortunately, she was supposed to take on Britt Baker. That match did not happen. Anna Jay has a shoulder injury, and she is going to be out 6 months to a year. And I believe this is the same shoulder that she injured a couple of years ago. So this is concerning that she's got two major injuries on the same shoulder. So she was not able to participate. Maddie Rynkowski took on Britt Baker instead. And honestly, I thought that match was not very good. So that is your update. Now, very quickly, because I know we're falling a little bit behind on time. Let me say this about the AEW women's division. Because I brought this up yesterday. Got a very interesting response. Someone asked, how do you improve WWE's women's tag team division and even women wrestling overall? Because outside of a handful of women, a lot of the women on TV, not, I don't want to say very good, but, you know, subpar. This is going to probably piss off some people, but in my opinion, I personally think, after thinking about this question yesterday, I personally think AEW is doing everything right on how they display their women's division on Dynamite. And I'll tell you why I say that. On Monday, when Charlotte had her match, or, you know, was going to come out to team up with Asuka, there were quite a few people on social media like, wow, so nice for WWE to almost hour two to bring a women's match on TV. You have people with saying that, oh, AEW needs to put one more women's matches on Dynamite. That people complain because the women's match is usually the second quarter of the night. Oh my God, a women's match finally made hour two. That's what you got online. And the reason why I think AEW is actually doing a really good job display, don't mince my words, I'm saying how they display their women's division. The reason why I think they're doing a very good job at it is this. I personally think that how you improve the women's tag team division in WWE and how you improve even women's wrestling overall is stop making it feel that women should be on TV 50% of the time. That women have just as much of an opportunity as the men. Yes, women should definitely have just as much an opportunity as men. But the thing is, if you don't bring it to the table, it should not be that even though some people are not bringing it to the table, we still have to put a second women's match on our show, so we put it on anyway. How many of you out there have seen matches on Dark and say, this is a pre-recorded show. Why is this match still being shown if it was god-awful like that? But as far as Dynamite goes, the reason why you still don't see women's matches being added, certain people being brought on the TV, is because you should have to fight and claw and earn whatever spot you get, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman. And I don't think that you have to put five men's matches on TV or five women's matches on TV so there is a balance. If you have a group of people that feel, well, as long as I have the look and as long as I have a little bit of ability, I should be able to make it. That should not be the standard. And what happens is, because you have to put a certain group number of people on TV, you get these subpar tag teams teaming up. You get these subpar matches that happen. And you have to come up with crazy gimmicks or crazy storylines or all this complexity to try to compensate for the lack of ability. Stop making it feel that there's an obligation to fill a certain quota, to do a certain amount of time each week. If people are not stepping up, then they don't get the shot, in my honest opinion. And I think AEW is actually doing a good job with that. As controversial as that may seem, AEW is not force-feeding certain extra women's matches on Dynamite simply because it's only fair. And yesterday, somebody brought up Sasha Banks being interviewed by Steve Austin. And honestly, the only part that really got me was when Sasha Banks was saying that, you know, all the women are talented and all the women deserve the opportunity. All the women, this and that. And as soon as I heard that, I praise Sasha Banks for saying that. She should stick up for her fellow women in that company. But that's why I don't watch the interview, because Steve Austin, he should be drinking mimosas right now instead of beers, because he just let the questions go. Instead of challenging, like, okay, this person you don't want to individually hurt anybody's feelings, but that's why you see people getting triggered about a Fox list, like, oh, if you could build the roster with $15, who would you choose? Instead of getting angry with Fox for coming up with that list, they get angry because how dare people label me as a dollar. So that's what happens. You have people out there that feel that they have the privilege simply because they fit this group or fit this group or fit this group. And I don't think that should ever be, in my opinion, whether you're male or female. So next week we got FTR and Tully versus Jurassic Express. Next week we have a press conference with Jericho and MJF. We're going to hear from Paul White next week. You know, a couple of comments on him signing. Dark Order versus Matt Hardy, Private Party, and TH2. And then Max Caster versus 10 for a spot in the ladder match at the pay-per-view. Jake Cardgill and Shaq versus Red Velvet and Cody. Main event tonight, Lance Archer beating Rey Fénix. Match was fun. Loved the match. As I said, opening up on this show, you know, I mean, it wasn't a street fight. I understand, you know, the lack of rules in AEW. But watch next week when you have Max Caster versus 10. And the littlest of things, you know, the referees. It's just, look, just advertise it that anything goes. Or no DQ or whatever it is. Because here's the thing. The chop fest that they were doing all night long was brutal. You could feel it. It hurt just watching it. They mesh wonderful together, Rey Fénix and Lance Archer. I would have been fine with either one of them advancing, even though Lance Archer is my favorite. But if you take away all of the spots that happened outside the ring, or you take away 90% of it, because you should be able to do a spot here and there and the ref, you know, tries to count to five and you go back in the ring. If you take away 90% of the stuff that the referee is not supposed to allow, you would have had basically a chop fest tonight and nothing else. Rey Fénix is incredible. But if you have any high-flying wrestler that could dive into the third row, that could dive onto the rampway, that could do this and do that and do this and, you know, use tables and chairs and this and that, you know, and not DQ'd over it, then every high flyer would be unbelievable. That's why matches like that, I love them. They're fun, but it just shows a laziness on AEW side. People that say, oh, DT favors AEW all the time. That's laziness. That's like, how do we get a good match with a big-time high flyer, a main event quality match, but we don't have a street fight. We don't have no DQ. So we kind of have to, like, follow the rules. Then why is the referee there in the first place? You know? So it was an excellent match. In the end, Lance Archer with the win. Oh my God, the Spanish fly off the top rope with both of them towards the end was awesome. The fans loved it. And at the end of the day, that's what matters, the fans. You know, but again, you know, I just don't understand why not just add that little extra. This way they can do whatever they want to do. But Rey Fénix, without a doubt, Rep, is one of the best high flyers in wrestling. No doubt about it. No question. No argument from me. But again, if you don't follow any of the rules, you know, and you want to just dive wherever you feel like it and do things wherever you feel like it, of course, you could have tons of holy shit stuff. But what's the purpose of rules then? And me, I'm not a big rules person. I'm just saying that, you know, there's got to be a little bit of a balance. And, you know, when you do announce no DQs, you know, then it's not going to really mean as much. Like, oh, isn't it all the time? But, you know, Lance Archer advances. I'm happy with that. You know, Jake the Snake Roberts trying to interfere a little bit. You know, Jake really can't move around like he used to, obviously. God bless him, all the years that he entertained us. But, you know, he tries. He tries. But Jake still acts like a heel out there, even though technically I think Lance Archer is looked at as a babyface. But no Eddie Kingston involvement today, you know, just saying. But hey, not a bad episode. Can't complain about this episode too much. Now, on the NXT side. All right. First off, like I said earlier tonight, Adam Cole, that segment towards the end, for the payoff of him low-blowing Roderick Strong, you know, maybe the very end of it was good, but Roderick coming out and cutting the promo, that crowd was kind of blah with it. Finn Balor coming out and brawling a little bit was fun as well, but I almost feel like maybe NXT should have opened up with Adam Cole in the ring. The street fight with Karrion Kross and Santos Escobar was excellent. I will say exactly what I said 2 weeks ago. The minute they said that the Cruiserweight title was not on the line, you knew pretty much what the outcome was going to be. Because if Santos Escobar was going to possibly come out on top on this, you put the title on the line. I understand Karrion Kross is not a Cruiserweight. I get it. But the point is, you know, when you don't put the title on the line, and Karrion Kross is not, you know, a super heavyweight. You know, he's jacked, but, you know, he's not as big as people try to portray him to be. Oh, yeah, the Kross shirt, somebody want to see it? Yeah, time's up. So, came today, actually, along with my Dexter Lumis and Velveteen Dream and a few other shirts. But Kross is a beast, no question. But I don't know. I just, I think the outcome was very predictable, although the match was very good. I would have preferred the street fight, just close out the show, you know, and go off the air like that. Because it felt like, okay, you know, it was fun and everything, but now we're going to have Adam Cole. I don't know. I just, that very end, and by the way, let me just say this about Kyle O'Reilly. If you watch the footage, because I brought this up last Thursday, we found out that he did not have a seizure. While we were doing the show last week, some people thought that he had a seizure. We found out that he didn't have it. And right away, the goofs online, you know, like, oh, you all got worked and this, this, and that. And it's like, never feel guilty or wrong for being worried about someone. They, you like or care about, or just in general, should never feel that way. And when you saw the footage tonight of what happened after the show went off the air and they put him on the stretcher and everything else, there was no signs of a seizure at all. What happened was a fan in attendance thought he had a seizure, wrote it online, everybody went with it. That's what happened. So nobody got worked. Nobody got fooled. You know, what the right thing everyone should have said was, thank God he's okay. End of story. Thank God he's okay. So, instead tonight we have Johnny Gargano open up the show against Dexter Lumis. Very fun match, Dexter Lumis getting the win. Actually locking the Anaconda Vice to Gargano, and Johnny goes night-night. The end of the match I thought was stupid. Absolutely stupid. I don't mind the storyline where Austin Theory might have got a little bit brainwashed from Dexter Lumis. Maybe even hinting of a crush. Indy Hartwell, the same thing tonight. But what I thought was stupid was towards the end of the match, Johnny Gargano is in the corner and he alerts Austin Theory, go get a chair and do what you got to do to Dexter Lumis. And when the referee went into the corner with Gargano, the referee is at chest height with Gargano, and Gargano above the ref is like this, alerting Austin Theory. And again, me, I'm a stickler. I'm looking at it, so I'm like, the ref doesn't see that. I thought it was stupid. Then Austin Theory gets the chair, and he's hesitant to hit Dexter Lumis with it. The thing is when Dexter Lumis turned around and Austin Theory had this busted look on his face and smiled, and, you know, he's like, my bad, and, you know, he doesn't hit Dexter Lumis with the chair. It was too long. You know what I mean? Like, Austin Theory, he wasn't acting like he was reluctant. It looked like that he was waiting and then didn't do anything. Now, obviously, this is part of his storyline later on, but it didn't look all that great on the screen. So when Austin Theory does not hit Dexter Lumis with the chair, basically Johnny Gargano is upset by it. Dexter Lumis has Gargano collide with Austin Theory. Dexter Lumis hits the Anaconda Vice. Johnny Gargano goes to sleep. Dexter Lumis defeats the champion in a non-title match. Later on in the night, the Way are trying to get out of the building before Dexter Lumis shows up. And Johnny Gargano is pissed off at Austin Theory. Why didn't you use the chair? And Austin Theory feels like maybe the chair wasn't necessary. He thinks that Austin Theory, Dexter Lumis is misunderstood. Indy Hartwell thinks that Dexter Lumis is hot. And Johnny Gargano thinks he's in Bizarro land. So because, you know, they're trying to play possibly the Stockholm Syndrome. And if you don't know what Stockholm Syndrome is, Google it. But because they're kind of teasing that, they're now going to do skits where Austin Theory goes to therapy. I personally think this is going to be some of the most hilarious shit. I think it's going to be funny. I don't think it's going to be stupid, corny stupid. I have a feeling this is going to be uber hilarious. But yeah, it's very interesting to see, you know, not only Indy Hartwell showing a little bit of attraction, but Austin Theory a little bit. Very interesting that they go in that route, and I am not complaining about it at all. Not complaining at all. We get the recap of the Dusty Cup winners. Very, very dumb segment. Grizzled Young Veterans attack MSK. They brag about it later, and I think one of them said that Wesley's arm is broken. The reason why I thought the segment was dumb, Where the fuck is William Regal? Again, nothing against William Regal. This is the WWE writing doing this. But in my opinion, one of the most inconsistent characters in NXT for the last 6 to 9 months has been William Regal. And that's not his fault. It's just WWE has it all over the place with this guy. When you think of some of the attacks that some people have done on others and, you know, threatened with suspension, threatened with this, threatened with that, and then the grizzled young veterans come out and brag about what they did with MSK, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. It's very inconsistent, in my opinion. In my opinion. Something else that I thought was absolutely horrendous today was the match between Xia Li and Casey Catanzaro. I know I'm going out of place. I talk about whatever we want to talk about. If you want to watch the show and see what I'm talking about, that's up to you. But I thought it was so dumb. Xia Li is awesome. I love her intro. I love the Tian Sha stuff. I love, you know, what they're doing with everything there. The reason why I thought it was so horrendous is because of the storyline that led up to this match. Casey Catanzaro and Xia Li were friends. And for a couple of weeks, even though they didn't give a shit about the torture, they didn't try to rescue them. They didn't show any concern for the most part. It was a couple of weeks after Xia Li is doing what she's doing, suddenly they care. It's not their fault. It's the storyline. But for the last couple of weeks, who are you? Speak. Open your mouth. Why are you doing this? And then Xia Li tells Casey last week, next week, pretty much, I kill you. And tonight was like an episode of Mortal Kombat, like the game. You know, Xia Li just beating the balls out of Casey Catanzaro. I didn't get to why I thought it was stupid tonight. I'll tell you why in a minute. And it's not Xia Li's fault at all. But if you remember, like, the Mortal Kombat games, you'd have, like, where it would be, like, finish him, and then you hit your finishing maneuver. And it looked like that with Xia Li, because she seriously injures Casey Catanzaro and then drags her by the hair back in the ring, and then the referee's forced to call the match, and then she just, it's like you expected it on the screen, finish her, and then she just wails a kick to the head. And that's it. Casey Catanzaro was finished. Why did I find this so stupid? I have praised a lot of Casey Catanzaro the last month or so. She has shown awesome ability in the ring. She's very talented. I like the team of her with Caden Carter. Tonight, go back and watch that match. You would have never thought of the whole storyline that they were friends. Why are you doing this? Why are you? Casey Catanzaro was more concerned about hitting ricochet moves early on in the match. I mean, she literally, in the beginning of the match, she literally with her hands and like flipped over to do acrobatic stuff. Tell a goddamn story, please. You know, this is your former friend acting like a psycho. You know, show emotion. You know, why are you doing this? What's wrong with you? Snap out of it. No, instead, she wants to do ricochet moves. Go back and watch it. Casey Catanzaro tonight, as good as she has become, she's got to learn a little bit more in the psychology department. She sold the violence well, but she told zero story in the ring tonight. Go back and watch what I'm talking about. Then after the match is over, you know, and she finishes Casey Catanzaro, you know, Caden Carter, you know, and that's another thing. When Caden Carter was trying to get to Tian Sha, and she can't get to her, and basically you have Boa in front of Tian Sha, to me, it looked like a child with friends in school. Like, if you, like, you want to get to someone, and you're like, let me at him. And then you go over here, and your friend, like, stands in front of you. And you go over here. You go over here. It's like a game. I mean, Kayda Card is like, let me add her. And Boa, it looked like a corny video game. He gets in front of her. Like, you would think that Kayda Carter would just, like, try to pull or shove him out of the way. Instead, she's like, let me add her. What's wrong with you? It was awful. I like the team, but I'm going to like even more Xia Li beating the shit out of Kayden Carter next week. Casey Catanzaro told zero story about her friend who is now on the dark side. Cameron Grimes, I told you that he was going to be the reverse Ted DiBiase, that he was going to start squandering money away. Everybody, he's going to be... He watches part of the video of Ted DiBiase with the basketball with the little kid, so he wants to do the same thing, but he didn't watch the whole video. Rep says, pretty simple, Thunder Rosa is going to win the tournament. Thank you. Welcome to 11:10 p.m. We're on NXT now. But I don't think Thunder Rosa is winning the tournament, but we'll see what happens next week. So, we have Cameron Grimes. He sees some of the Ted DiBiase stuff with the little kid with the basketball, and he wants to do it to someone. So he goes up to random guy in the back and he's like, Sylvia, what's going on, Sylvia? Oh, nice. Don't normally see Sylvia over here. So friend of the family. Much love. So Cameron Grimes goes up to a guy in the back and he's like, I'll give you $1,000 if you could dribble the basketball to 10. He dribbles the basketball to 10. Cameron Grimes gives him $1,000 and he's like, wait, this isn't right. So he didn't watch the whole video with Ted DiBiase. So we get a second segment later on in the night. And now he's outside of some building somewhere, and there's a guy sitting down and two women. One of the women happens to be Anrielle Howard, who used to be a big star in the WNBA. Sitting down, you know, she just looks like maybe like an indie wrestler. They said, no, I don't think a lot of people knew who it was. So he's basically coaching her, trying to get her to dribble the basketball for $1,000. And he starts dribbling. She starts, well, before she even dribbles the basketball, she gets up. And like, I'm saying to myself, ooh, you know, maybe a little shorter than Jade Cargill. But Cameron Grimes turned around and saw how, like, big she was, tall. She had presence, man. And Anrielle starts dribbling the basketball. She gets to, like, 6. And then because Cameron Grimes watched the whole video now, Ted DiBiase, so he figures he's going to kick the basketball when he gets to 8. So when she gets to, like, 6 or 7, she starts dribbling between the legs and this and that. And I think she bounced it to, like, 15. Cameron Grimes loses another $1,000. And later we get a third segment where Cameron Grimes is now just pissed off. And he's blaming everything on Ted DiBiase right away, which was pretty funny. But towards the end of the night, now it's pitch blackout, and he finds another guy outside. He's like, I'll give you $1,000. You could dribble the basketball. He dribbles it once, and Cameron Grimes just punches him in the mouth. And now Cameron Grimes feels like, you know, he succeeded. But unfortunately, Cameron Grimes now is out $2,000. But I told you he's going to start squandering the money away. The comedy segments are awesome, but this has got to lead to some matches. It's got to lead to some matches. And when he hits that ring, is it going to be what we had before? I don't know. What else do we get tonight? I liked when Cameron Grimes like, give me my money, honey. Give me my money, honey. Grizzled Young Veterans beating Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. WWE totally screwed up Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. Ever since that night that they decided to have Pat McAfee, Lorcan Burch, and Dunn beat up Killian Dane outside and leave him laying in a black and white pool of blood, all that momentum went out the window. Danielson thinks the therapy stuff is going to be dumb. Well, we'll see. If it's dumb, we'll call it dumb. I have a feeling it's going to be hilarious. Austin Theory, I think it's, we're going to see, you know, Dexter Lumis magic stuff with Dexter Lumis. You watch. So, guys, everybody has a difference of opinion here. Don't make me scold anybody out there. Don't make me put the chat on the screen and let everybody see. You know, I know we have some big time AEW and NXT fans over here, but you know, little difference of opinion is okay. But Killian Dane and Drake Maverick, they totally killed their momentum. Early on with the 80s music and them not getting along, some of the comedy stuff, and it just went absolutely nowhere. Look at Everrise. Do you know that ever since I made that joke, I'm sorry for doing the sound effect, I just have to repeat it from there. Remember that week I said, will Everrise ever rise? They have not been on NXT since. Just coincidence. But I don't know. This match, the Grizzled Young Veterans, like I said, they are talented. No one has sold me why I should buy into them. I don't care about their matches. I actually, you know, come in here. I put the volume up, but I come in here and I prepare for the show and, like, just disinterested. And at this point of their NXT career, they should not be at this low level. I don't know where you go from here with them. I honestly don't know where you go from here. Yeah, they're playing the injury angle with MSK that Wesley has a broken arm. Hopefully he doesn't see Johnny Gargano's orthopedic surgeon. So, what else do we get today? Oh, Zoe Stark versus Io Shirai. That was a fun match. Some of you out there never knew anything about Zoe Stark. And you basically tonight was welcome to WWE. Oh, and by the way, all those signees to the Performance Center, like Taya Valkyrie and others, we will talk about that on Friday. Got a lot of names to get into, so Friday we will spend some time on that. Give you a little background on some of the names that you might not be familiar with. But Zoe Stark, I don't know how far she'll go in WWE. And by the way, I know we went a few minutes longer today. You know, we went on a couple of rants, which is fine. I'll be definitely done within 10 minutes. We'll be done by the 2-hour mark. I don't mind if we have some great combo and go a little longer, but my goal is opening 30 minutes, 30 minutes AEW, 30 minutes NXT. But Zoe Stark, I know a lot of you out there didn't know much about her before her WWE career, but she shows she can go. I don't know how she leapfrogs so many women in NXT. But I liked what I saw tonight. Io Shirai winning with the moonsault. The match, it gave it enough time to basically show Zoe Stark really, really can go. And if we ever get NXT Women's Tag Championships, I could see her possibly having some type of gold in the future. I know what you're going to say to me. DT, you just finished doing that rant. I didn't say anything about NXT in that rant. We were talking about WWE and AEW, how they handle their main roster women. But Zoe Stark, yes, she was Lacey Ryan in Impact, but a lot of people didn't know much about her. When I put the, go look at the chat, because I had it on the screen that night when I brought up her and Priscilla Kelly and, you know, brought up the three signees. A lot of people, like, don't know anything about her. So you'd be surprised how many people knew nothing about Cameron Grimes, knew nothing about Dexter Lumis, you know, he didn't know anything about MSK. That's the one out of everything, because the Rascals had a lot of momentum in Impact Wrestling. The Rascals were talked about by everybody. We talked about the Rascals a lot. And they go to WWE, and their name changes from the Rascals to MSK. And I'm seeing people out there who claim to watch Impact on a regular basis, like, you know, I kind of like this MSK tag team. Were you in a fucking Twilight Zone? Where have you been the last couple of years? That's how you catch people. That's how you catch people that truly don't watch stuff. But Zoe Stark, excellent match with Io Shirai today. Io Shirai ends up getting the win. Toni Storm comes out, and Toni Storm basically challenging Io Shirai. She beat down Io last week, and Io just took it. Didn't do anything about it. And then Toni Storm, which I thought was kind of dumb, she says that, you know, she wants a match with Io Shirai. Io Shirai wants a match with her, but Io Shirai didn't go to William Regal and request a match because she's afraid. It just, I don't know, just a little bit too much verbiage there. But in the end, Toni Storm challenges her. Io Shirai, you know, accepts in her way, you know, screaming in the ring. Vic Joseph says that she accepted. So in 2 weeks, we're going to get that match. And good. I still think after the women's tag match next week, they got to go with Raquel Gonzalez. Raquel Gonzalez, unless something dramatically changes with that women's tag team division, I do not see Raquel and Dakota Kai winning those belts. But that would be really interesting if they did. I mean, what would happen? I mean, that's an easy way to get them on the main roster. I mean, how many people reported for the last 2 months? Oh, that was Dakota Kai's last match. This is 5 matches ago. That was her last match. She's going to the main roster. So if you really want to put Dakota Kai and Raquel on the main roster, whew, that's a really easy way to do it. But I want to see Raquel Gonzalez have a feud with Io Shirai. I think that's necessary. I think Raquel Gonzalez needs to be NXT Women's Champion. I don't necessarily think Io Shirai needs to lose the belt right now, but Raquel Gonzalez needs to be NXT Women's Champion at least once. At least once. Because she goes to the main roster. She's not going to overtake Asuka. She's not going to overtake Charlotte. She's not going to overtake Rhea Ripley. She's not going to overtake Sasha Banks. She's not going to overtake Bianca Belair. Not right away. So best to keep Raquel Gonzalez in NXT. Main event, street fight, Karrion Kross defeats Santos Escobar. Match originally, they tried to play off earlier in the day that Escobar was nowhere to be seen. William Regal making the threats. If he doesn't show up, he'll get stripped of this and that. And like I said last week, Jordan Devlin, expect that name to come into play very, very soon. Timothy Thatcher also. Timothy Thatcher, I'd like to see him in Ciampa have tag titles for a little bit. I'm sorry, man. In my opinion, Lorcan and Birch as tag champs is not doing anything for me right now. It's like an afterthought. Just how I feel about it. Still bickering. That's all right. We'll be done in 5 minutes, and then they can bicker all they want elsewhere. You bicker that much with each other than you's actually your friends. So anyway, Karrion Kross, we have Scarlett on the rampway. Entrance is about to begin. No Karrion Kross. We get the cameras in the back. Karrion Kross is out in the parking lot brawling with Legado del Fantasma. They have this big white truck that gets involved. Kudos to Karrion Kross because he picked up like an ice pick or something. And instead of cracking the window because Santos Escobar was inside the truck, he started breaking the door. Almost kind of like Jack Nicholson, The Shining. You know, unfortunately, you know, no, here's Karrion. It would have been stupid. But I'm glad he didn't do the window. because if he would have cracked that window, especially on that truck and Santos Escobar in that truck, there would have been glass everywhere inside that truck, and I think it would have been an absolute mess for Santos Escobar. But a lot of brawling in the parking lot. You know, you had Legado del Fantasma constantly getting involved. No one is going to come to the rescue of Karrion Kross because he has no alliances in NXT. Edge ain't coming to save him. There's no alliances. So he's basically getting it from three guys. They're brawling. It was a street fight. So falls count anywhere. I don't know why they brought him back in. I mean, I know why they brought him back into the building, but they brawled outside for a few minutes. Then Legado del Fantasma, they bring him back into the building, and we have the street fight. The trash cans were involved. Chairs were involved. A lot of suplexes. A lot of suplexes. But it was a fun street fight. The crowd... Oh, look, there's only like, what, 30 fans there, 40 fans, so how much noise are they actually going to be able to give? I think the fans were a little confused for the simple reason that Karrion Kross up until now has technically been a heel, and Legado del Fantasma are heels. And it's like, okay, who are you supposed to root for? And I know Karrion Kross, you know, kind of felt like the babyface tonight, but... what's going to happen with him in the title picture with Finn Balor? Right now, it seems like Finn Balor is consumed with Adam Cole. Adam Cole's going to be consumed with Kyle O'Reilly. Now you know that Roderick Strong in some way is going to be consumed in this. So the more you think about it, the more it feels like it might be a four-way or a five-way for the title going into WrestleMania. But I'll say this, and I think a lot of you out there will agree with me on this. This might have been Karrion Kross's best match in WWE as of yet, because he had some decent work with Keith Lee, but it didn't feel it was long enough. His work with Ciampa was very good, but I didn't think it was long enough. This, even though it was a street fight, I thought it was probably his best match in WWE to date. And in the end, you know, he basically hits that finisher where he nails Santos Escobar in the back of the neck, gets the win. Like I said, tons of suplexes. A lot of, you know, tornado suplexes. I mean, I like his repertoire. I like his arsenal. But it seems like one thing that does happen is he, like the tornado suplex seems to be his go-to. Like, almost every time, like, there's something improvised, like somebody charges him from behind, he catches him, tornado suplex. You know, Santos Escobar goes, charges him, tornado suplex. I think there was a couple of too many tornado suplexes tonight, but he dominated, was able to handle three guys, and, you know, it was nice to see him get the win. It was fun. Then we go to the main hype of the evening. I don't want to say main event, the main hype of the evening. Adam Cole's going to explain himself. Comes out, a lot of piped in boos. He's absolutely sorry to Kyle O'Reilly. He feels terrible. He realizes he made a big mistake, and he's sorry. And, you know, he knows that Kyle O'Reilly will be back, and he's sorry, sorry, sorry. Roderick Strong comes out. And again, Roderick Strong, I like him, but, you know, Mike skills are not in the best in his department. And he came off too, I don't even know what you call it. It was just like, I don't know, kind of fell flat. But, you know, Roderick Strong telling Adam Cole that, you know, look at what you did and this and that. And Adam saying, I'm sorry. And Roderick Strong just basically saying, like, Kyle O'Reilly's going to come back. And when he comes back, he's coming after you. And Adam Cole is insisting he's sorry, sorry, sorry. Finn Balor's music hits. Finn Balor just runs down to the ring, tosses Roderick Strong aside, and starts going at it with Adam Cole because of what happened last week. They go outside the ring. Adam Cole super kicks Finn Balor once again leaves him laying. Then we get the predictable turn. You have Roderick Strong in the ring, and Adam Cole is sorry. He's going to make this right. Sorry, sorry. He's almost got tears in his eyes. Roderick Strong basically hugs Adam Cole, and you know, we'll fix this. We'll fix this, and you know what's coming. Adam Cole nails him in the balls, gives him a low blow, and then you know, lays him out. Adam Cole turns on Roderick Strong. You know, for some of you out there that thought maybe Roderick Strong aligns with Adam Cole and maybe Bobby Fish aligns with Kyle O'Reilly, it looks like Adam Cole is branching out. You know, we did see some of those predictable rumors last week. Oh, Adam Cole's contract is coming up soon and this and that. Even if it is coming up soon, right now the storyline is to lead into WrestleMania. We'll see what happens. But the Undisputed Era, that's why last week in the title of my show, I put End of an Undisputed Era, a play on the words End of an Era, End of an Undisputed Era. And that's what we got. It's over. Now the question is, are we going to see an Undisputed Era match, a takeover, or WrestleMania, or is this going to be incorporated with the world title? I tend to think it's going to be incorporated with the world title for the simple reason that they keep bringing Finn Balor out there. Adam Cole super kicks him twice to leave him laying. Adam Cole wants that belt. Karrion Kross, like I said, I don't know where he fits in with this. So then you think Karrion Kross may have to align with Finn Balor a little bit, you know, leading up to Mania and then a turn. I don't know. I don't know. I like the way it went off the air. As far as ratings go, this week is a little weird with the ratings because I think, and if you remember my quarter hour breakdown last week, outside of that first quarter for NXT, if they would have had a regular number for their first quarter, AEW would have beat them handedly. Very comfortably would have beat them. Last week, the ratings were a little bit close, but that was strictly because of one quarter hour. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention this Monday. You know, there's some people out there with podcasts and websites and, you know, blogs, and now they're catching on to the quarter hour rating breakdown, which is cool because I don't own any rights to it. But I get a kick out of people that because they read or hear other people's stuff, that doesn't make you a journalist. And I see people literally word for word, when I give my views of up and down and, you know, certain trends, they're calling it as their own. And I'm like, look at this. Basically saying word for word what I'm saying, and they're claiming. So what I did last week was when I did the quarter hour breakdown, I don't mind admitting it. I took two of the quarters and I adjusted the ratings by 2,000. I took, if one quarter was, let's say, 802, I put 804. And then another quarter that should have been 804, I put 800. And it didn't affect the rating because they watched each other out. And the reason why I did that was I wanted to see which places were going to put whatever the number was, 804, 800, because I purposely altered them by 4,000. And phew, hook, line, and sinker. 1, 2, 3, 4. The 7 goofs I counted that wrote exactly what I put, and this is an ad. And these are people, most of them, who claim they can't stand me, that hate my shit, I'm a racist, don't like the shows, this and that, and got caught. Yep. So we do that from time to time just to keep them honest. But this week with the ratings, I think AEW wins again. I think the ratings will be much more spread out this week compared to last week, even though the Adam Cole storyline is pretty solid. I don't know if it pulls the numbers that WWE thinks it does. And I'm very curious to see what that street fight main event. Yeah, I love working the goofs, George. Fun. Very fun when they get caught. I won't single them out, though. They know who they are. So, I think AEW this week, I think they pull... I'll say 808. I'll say 808 for AEW. Although, you know, because Rey Fénix and Lance Archer was a fun main event, but I don't know how strong that number is going to be. Of course, it's going to beat WWE's NXT main event in the ratings, but I'll say 808 for NXT, for AEW, and for NXT, yeah, I know, Lone Wolf, yeah, I'm a racist. Because back in the day, I would do a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor about everybody. And, you know, people that are very triggered and can't handle jokes, you know, they immediately, oh. So it's all good. That's why I'm here doing the video stuff now. Now people get to actually see the person that they heard all these years. And then they realize the truth. And then you realize that the people making all that noise are the shadiest ones of them all. So it's all right. It's all right. So I think AEW this week, 808 sounds awfully low, to be honest with you. I'm going to actually go up a little bit. I'm going to say 828. I have a feeling there might have been a slight little bump because maybe some people thought that Paul White might have been featured tonight, or maybe they would have showed him or something, you know, not realizing that tonight was pre-recorded. But I'm going to go with 828. I'll stick with 828. On NXT, I don't think NXT is going to do that great of a number. If AEW does 808, NXT, I'm going to say, does 740. That's awfully high because that would give you 1.58 million viewers. But I think both shows this week were pretty good. I mean, I honestly can't say that I disliked either show tonight. So I think a drop under 1.6 million viewers combined, I think is fair. There's no reason why they can't score that. Can't blame it on news. Can't blame it on other outside things. So that's what I'm going to go with. We'll see what happens. So anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. As I always say, before you leave, if you enjoyed the show, definitely smash that like button. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. And if you want to become a member, you could go check that out as well. We're going to do something this weekend amongst the members. I got to talk to them and see what they want to do. We're going to definitely do something. And tomorrow night, I'm going to put another DT wrestling thing online. So for everybody out that always heard about what I did on the indies with the managing and the occasional match, I'm going to put another clip up tomorrow. I have an idea which one I'm going to put up. I think I'm going to put up the one where I got chair bashed and I fell and my watch broke and everybody laughed. And, you know, I might put that one up. So yeah, tomorrow night we will have a ball. We will have fun. And yeah, we'll have a great night, man. 10:05 p.m. Eastern once again. So join me. We'll do another giveaway. Probably do another Who Am I? And we'll probably use the wheel, you know, instead of giving away a physical prize. We'll see. We'll see. I have 24 hours to think about it. So, but anyway, have a great night, everyone. Much love as always. And I will catch you tomorrow night, 10:05 p.m. Eastern. And, yes, okay. I wanted to make sure I didn't leave anybody super chats out. I might even be tweaking something with the display tomorrow. I might actually go tomorrow with no template. I mean, it's not set up right now, but tomorrow we may actually do no template. We'll see. We'll see. All right, everybody. Take care. Have a good night. And I'll see you mañana, 10:05 p.m. Eastern. Ciao.